Hi, I'm Katie, and you're listening to the Home Ed Voices podcast, where I talk to people about their home education adventures and experiences here in the UK. This is episode 24, and this week I'm wrapping up season 2 and talking about how to enjoy December as a home educating family without too much overwhelm. So, this is the final episode of series 2, and I just want to give out some huge thank yous to basically everybody. Thank you to all the people who gave their time to speak to me this season. I really appreciate it. This podcast is nothing without the people who come to talk to me and share their experiences. Everybody was so kind and welcoming, and they told me such fantastic stories. I really, really appreciate them. I also want to say thank you to all the people who listened, who shared the podcast with their friends, who reviewed it, who sent me messages telling me that it was useful. They made my day. Completely. I do this because I hope it is useful to the community, and I really appreciate hearing from people. Thank you to the people who shared posts on Instagram, and who, you know, there are various people who really have my back, and I'm really grateful for them. We're going into hiatus for this winter. I'm taking December and January off because I think it's probably not very likely that I'm going to find people to speak to at a really busy time of the year. But we will be back in February of 2020 with new episodes and hopefully new people to talk to. If you home educate in the UK and you fancy chatting with me next year, please get in touch. Either via Instagram, you can DM me at Home Ed Voices Podcast, or via the email address Home Ed Voices Podcast, that's all one word, @outlook.com. I'd love to hear from you, and we'll sort things out to speak in the new year at some point. That would be fantastic. Okay, how to have a December with minimum overwhelm. Many families are celebrating a variety of festivals over December, and trying to add seasonal festivities onto the top of full home ed life is really likely to result in overwhelm. Ask me how I know this. I think the first thing you need to start with is just really thinking about your own family and what they need. Some families really can't handle very much of a shift in routine. It just sets everybody off and just leads to a lot more upset. You know your family best. If you think that you can change things around, then, you know, try changing things around. If you feel like you really need a stable core and maybe keep the holiday type things to a minimum, then, you know, then that is right for you. And basically, you know, ignore everything in this that isn't going to work for you as a family, because you know your family better than anybody else does. I think it's really important to stress that it is okay to cut things out for the month. It's okay to take a break. If that's what you want to do and have a longer holiday, it's okay to drop subjects that feel like they can't be given the time and attention with everything else that's going on in December. It's really okay to pare things back and know that you can come back to them in the new year. It's all right to make changes on a term by term basis. If you feel okay with this, that's great, but somebody's going to need to hear this, and frankly, sometimes I need to hear this, that it's okay to close that book and not open it for a month, so that you can spend the time doing other things that are more seasonal and are taking advantage of what is going on right now, rather than just ploughing on regardless. You need to think about what you need to do to keep things on an even keel. Does everyone need more time outdoors? Does there need to be more time to play and for your children to be able to follow their own interests? Can you build in more family time where there are lots of things that, you know, as a family you might want to actually do together? It's worth having a look at your routine and seeing what you can pare back. If you're going to look for activities, please just spend a set amount of time. Give yourself a certain, you know, an evening maybe, or an hour. Don't fall down a Pinterest hole and suddenly have pages and pages of activities that you feel you must do in this next month. You know, think about what would work best for your children. Are they old enough to bake with minimal supervision. I'm getting at that point in my household now, and it's actually really fun to watch the children be able to work together to make stuff instead of me being stuck right in the middle. If you're at that point, then I would say take advantage of it and let them start making things that they can share with family and friends, or even just share, you know, within your family for the next few weeks. If they're younger, are they old enough to decorate biscuits? Or there are lots of decorations for all different skill levels and age levels. Are there things that they can make as small gifts that you can share with family? Are there things that you can make from their artwork or already things that they're producing that you can share with friends and family? This is a really good time of year to start spreading their creations around grandparents and aunts and uncles if you have them. It sounds mercenary, but it gets it out of your house after you've had some time to enjoy it, and it allows the other people in your family to enjoy things that your children have made. Sometimes those are really special. I think the important thing is don't go bonkers on Pinterest. Maybe pick out, you know, 6 activities, maybe, for the entirety of December. You know, and then if you need more of them after you've completed those 6, then you know social media is going to be full of loads of people's ideas, and, you know, you're going to get inspired by what they're putting out there. There's going to be no end of ideas that you can actually draw from. So, you know, don't feel like you need to go completely overboard. Look at what you can use that you already have so that you're not buying loads of supplies on top of all of the other things that you're probably spending money on in December. And remember that, you know, you're not looking necessarily, if you're going to bring activities into the house, you know, craft activities or play activities, you're not looking for them to maybe do it once and then you're rushing on to the next thing. You can definitely bring activities out multiple times over a few days, or let them take a few days to really immerse themselves in the activity. And I think it's, you know, I think it's really useful to mix in some familiar activities that you can always make more seasonal if you want to. You know, you can make Play-Doh. There are loads of recipes for Play-Doh that is seasonal, that is, you know, cinnamon smelling or cranberry scented, that actually, you know, can use some of these items to actually make the things. And add some seasonal cutters, and you've taken an ordinary activity and made it more holiday themed. Another one that's nice for getting children outside the house is if you have wintry animals, or even maybe something like pine cones that you could find, and you can freeze them within a block of ice, either by making some room in your freezer if you have one, or if it's really cold, putting it out to freeze overnight, and then to get the children to go outside and, you know, melt it with salt on a tray, maybe. I hate to say hit it with spades, but hit it with spades! you know your children best, but sometimes just giving them something interesting to do outside when it's cold and a bit dank and they kind of don't want to go outside, you know, that's an option that is really low cost and is good fun and kind of keeps them busy for a while, even a group of children. I like bringing out colouring sheets. I like bringing out festive sticker books if we have them. If you have a doll's house, it's really nice to give them the opportunity to decorate the doll's house. Maybe put little strings of beads, or you know, make a little Christmas tree or decorations that they stick on the house. Like, you know, you might do within your own home. It's nice to be able to mirror that within a doll's house or play structure if you have one. I think the important thing is don't try and do all of the things. Let them take their time and come back to things a number of times, rather than feeling like you've got 20 activities that you're going to push through day after day after day. I've tried that in the past and end up abandoning a plan I spent probably, you know, sometimes hours over, and it's kind of a waste of time. It's worth bringing in a handful of activities and see where you go from there. You can always add to it later if you need to. But there's loads of stuff going on. Don't overestimate what you actually can all get done. The next big thing is reading together and enjoying festive stories and winter stories together. I always find that we end up putting those books aside for the rest of the year. So when we actually get to the point where we want to come back and read them, it's like returning to a whole group of friends you haven't seen for ages. Don't forget to use your library. They have lots of festive books and seasonal books that have come out now, you know, that they bring out of the stacks now. It's worth, you know, if you're going to supplement your Christmas book collection, then the library is a really good place to start, particularly if you're, you know, if money is stretched in all different directions this month, which, let's face it, for most people it usually is. Think about playing Christmas audiobooks, which you can also get from your library, whilst they play or craft, to get in more stories without you necessarily being able to sit there and read to them all of the time. It's a really good time, as the evenings are darker, for sharing films with your children that you love. Yeah, these can be Christmas-themed films, but also just classic films that are suitable for them that you haven't shared with your family yet. This time of year is a really good time to be able to curl up on the sofa as a family under a blanket and just really enjoy a movie. So take the best advantage of that you can. The other thing that I like to do is pull out winter-themed episodes of kids' shows that we've really loved, particularly if you haven't maybe watched those shows for a while. Another thing you can do is take some time to sing seasonal songs and maybe practice and learn carols if that's within your family tradition. Particularly for younger children who don't have the reading fluency to sight read lyrics, it's really nice for them to have a familiarity of at least some of the carols or songs so that they can join in to a certain degree. Plus, it's really nice to listen to festive music together, to have it playing on in the background. One of the things that I think actually is really nice to bring into the home education side of things is spending a bit of time helping children to actually give to others at Christmas. Most children don't have money that they can choose what to do with. And so obviously winter holidays end up being a lot about receiving for them rather than giving. But there are things that we can do that don't cost very much money, aren't a huge amount of effort, but really allow them to give to other people. One of the things they can do is go through toys or games that maybe they have finished using and organise to send them to, you know, local charity shops so that they can be shared with other people. Another thing is taking some time and a small budget to buy things for your local food bank. It's a really good opportunity to talk about why food banks have become a necessity in our culture, and talk about the sort of things that food banks need, and then let your children take the budget and work out what things they're going to buy that will be useful for a food bank. Most supermarkets have boxes where you can put food bank items, and in the lead up to Christmas they often encourage people to include small, you know, treat items alongside the more, you know, the sort of staples that they always need. And it's, you know, it's nice to be able to allow children to take control of that. And often they can sort out, you know, they can include fun items that are parts of deals, supermarket deals, so that they can make their money go further and get more things for the food bank and put some sort of fun holiday type things in, you know, to hopefully brighten someone's day who really needs it. The other thing I would say is if everything feels too fraught at home, which it often does, I think, in winter when we're cooped up, is to really try and spend a bit of time in nature and see how winter is changing the environment around you. It's really nice to go back to places that you enjoyed, particularly in the summer, and just in, you know, see how they've changed now that winter has come. Another thing is to seek out Christmas lights, particularly as it gets darker much earlier into the afternoon. So for us, it's most likely our local town centre, which we can travel through by bus and enjoy all of the Christmas lights. But even in rural areas, you have people who decorate the outside of their houses with Christmas lights, which we always really enjoy seeing. My family sometimes go out of our way to see people who've really done up their house just for the joy of seeing it all lit up. Sometimes you can just take a bus journey or something and it, you know, in the late afternoon as it starts to get dark, and just see what festivities are actually happening in your area. I think the important thing is don't burn the candle at both ends. And I need to hear that as much as anybody else, to be honest. I am no better at taking my time over these things. But it's something I always strive to do. It's really important to get, as particularly at home, my parents, to get try and get plenty of sleep and rest and prioritise the family culture over the busy work of the season. This is a really good time to actually just spend time together. Home-ed families, we spend loads of time together, but really, you know, be able to spend time together taking advantage of the good things about winter that we can bring to our family. And I think doing that in December sets us up well for building a culture of in trying to get the most out of winter and enjoying winter as we go into January and February. However you spend it, I wish everyone peace for the rest of the year and into 2020. I'm really looking forward to coming back in February with new episodes. In the meantime, I will be replaying old episodes of the podcast during the hiatus in the normal fortnightly slot that I would normally have new episodes. Over that period, I'm particularly looking forward to resharing the podcast that I did with Dakshina and Kate, both of whom write now for the Home Ed Voices podcast blog at homeedvoices.co.uk. I thought it'd be really nice for you to be able to listen to their interviews again and get to know them as you get to see more of their writing on the blog. I hope everybody has a really wonderful December, however you choose to spend it. And I'm really looking forward to speaking to you next year. And there you go. If you want to find out more about any of the things we talk about in this episode, or to leave a comment, please go to the show notes on the blog at homeedvoices.co.uk, or follow the link at Instagram at Homeed Voices Podcast, or Twitter at Homeed Voices. This is episode 25. If you want to support the show, please rate and review at Apple Podcast, as it helps more people to find out about it. The Homeed Voices Podcast is an independent production and is created, hosted and produced by me, Katie Hanrot. The podcast theme tune is Hope for Tomorrow by Seastock. You can subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcast, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube, or anywhere else where podcasts are found. I'll be back with new episodes in February 2020. And until then, here's to more home-ed adventures.